Oh. Hello, my name is Josh Kiesler.
I'm Jordan Hart.
Can I introduce myself?
I'm Colin Hart.
And I, for the first time, am Eric Hall.
Screwing things up already.
And this is Wilbur Weekly. So first off, we have a new addition to
Can
our...
Can I introduce myself? I'm Eric Average Joe Hallba. Okay, back
only
to
get
you.
One chance to make a person.
Back to you. Back to you, Goose.
This is why we don't bite on that often. Anyways, so... So we have a new member to our crew, Eric, and he's going to tell you a little about himself, as we did last week. So, Eric, tell us about yourself.
Well, I got into Magic playing around with some friends. That's pretty much what I do. I play fun Magic. I play less competitively than these guys. They are more skilled Magic players and more skilled deck builders. I'm in it for the fun. I play silly things. And beats.
He sees
sticks, big green creatures, and Eldrazi. That's my stuff. Beats. And dragons. Back to you, Goose.
Okay, cool. So that's Eric. He will join
He's
us once in a while.
Back to you.
And he will just give some opinions, like non-competitive opinions of certain cards when we do set reviews, and just general ideas that he sees.
Yeah, just like we overthink things a lot, and I feel like Eric would just give us a good understanding from someone who doesn't overthink things, like the average person, what they think. So more like what most of our viewers probably are thinking.
But. Yes. Well, kind of like
I'm average,
a Timmy,
Joe.
Right?
Yeah, a Timmy.
Timmy? Yeah.
Yeah.
I like a Timmy. Average Joe?
Average
no,
Joe.
No, I like the Timmy's. Timmy's the magic thing now. Like, Timmy's are the magic people who just go, big creatures, oh my gosh, it's so cool. Right.
Like our Timmy. Me.
Big our Timmy.
Pretty much.
But
yeah.
Timmy's a magic thing established
right.
by
Yeah, that's him.
Mark
but
Rose.
I'm Timmy now.
Okay.
Continuing.
Anyways, so we don't have as much to talk about this week as we did last week.
Thank goodness.
Yes,
Thank
because
goodness.
The last
one was long.
Last one was 3 hours.
3 hours and 30-some seconds? That's a long one.
Yeah.
Those of you that made it through that gauntlet, kudos.
Thank you.
Considering we haven't put it up yet, they probably...
Hopefully you enjoyed it. I know I did.
And if you're watching live... If
I didn't watch it.
You can call in.
You can't. You can't.
Yeah, I mean, if you know our number.
Actually, don't call in. Just, like, hit, like... Try and message us on our post.
I'll get my phone.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, that's a formal warning, Anson.
If you actually watch it, that's going to be so funny.
That'd be great.
So, this past week we had one big tournament.
One big tournament, Star City Games Open Series in Baltimore.
Which was a standard event.
Yeah, they do standard and legacy pretty much every week. Standard is what we're going to... talk about mostly, because that's what most people play.
And I don't think it was anything from the Legacy side.
Yeah, Legacy is just kind of its own thing. But
right. So this was the first big tournament since N15 came out. We saw some new additions to some cards. Some decks we didn't see any additions. So, go on. You did some math on this.
Yeah, I did looked at the metagame breakdown. You can find all this on scglive.com with their deck lists. Mind you, we have no affiliation with Star City Games. We just enjoy watching what they do. So, in the top 32, we had Mono Black had 7 decks in there. One of them had green in it. The rest were just straight Mono Black. We had 6 Mono Blue aggro decks. Then we had 3 Burn decks, 3 Jund Monsters decks, 3 Black-White Mid-Range decks, and 2 Esper Control decks, 2 Green-Black decks, and a bunch of other decks that did really, really well. Notably speaking, I mean... First thing you'll notice is that blue and black, the two of the main pillars of standard, are still dominant.
Oh, yeah, and there's, like, no additions.
Like, Urborg would go in black, and blue might get military intelligence.
Right.
Like, that's about the only thing that would change between N15 and there. So,
which is kind of a letdown.
It was cool to see. It's kind of what we expected. I think what we wanted to see was a lot of innovation. And what we saw was the better decks kind of just getting better. And that's kind of what we expect to see.
It didn't get much better. Pretty much stayed the same.
No, but, I mean, this reminds me, I watched a lecture, Richard Garfield did a lecture on, he's a creator of Magic, if you don't know, about two different types of people in Magic. There are the innovators and there are the honers. The innovators create new decks, and the honers actually take the decks that already exist and make them better. Right now, this past week, we saw a lot of honing, not a lot of innovating, and that's that's come to we've come to expect that because of all the honing that we've been doing over the past couple months with the decks that have established.
Right.
We did see some innovative decks. We saw a Slivers deck that it was at least 3-0. It was 3-0 at a time. At one time.
At one point, yeah. Who played that?
I forget his name. I don't remember.
Yeah, I remember the space, but I can't.
Yeah. So Slivers was doing a pretty good job for a while. It probably ran into some control decks and probably
just got up.
And control was good at doing that, keeping things in check, keeping the not good decks. It's the fun police of the.
The fun police.
The fun police is Esper Control.
And that's why I don't like Esper Control.
Right.
While you're talking about this, I have to cut out for a minute. I'll be right back.
Okay. So, also notably, Mono Green was an established Mono Green was already an established archetype, but it got a hold of some really good cards that made it really made a lot better. Court of Calling being the main one.
Yeah, and then a lot of one ofs.
A lot of they have the capacity now to play a lot of one of because of Court of Calling.
Right. Right.
To get the things that they need, stuff like Hornet Queen.
Which I think
Is a fun card.
Hornet Queen is a good card.
I think when we all saw that card, we didn't think it was going to do much.
Yeah, I saw Hornet Queen. All I thought was, I don't want to play against it. But then again, I didn't think it was that good.
Right, right, right. So we didn't think anyone was going to play it.
I thought it was just going to be an annoying thing. But quite frankly, I wouldn't mind playing it, you know, just for the same reason that I would want to annoy my opponent. So
we saw one deck when we were watching that was playing Mono Green, right?
Yeah. And Todd Anderson played Mono Green.
Yeah, yeah.
They also got Nissa. Really, we should throw that out there.
Oh, yeah, Nissa.
The Nissa was a really important card to add to Mono Green.
Reclamation Sage.
Also.
Which is like a one or two of, just to destroy artifacts or enchantments that are... Is it destroy artifacts or enchantments?
Yeah, it's a naturalizing a stick,
So, which is, in court for it.
Which is good, notably in not just standard, but also modern with Birthing Pod.
Right.
Anything on a stick that does something when it enters...
Yeah.
Really good for Birthing Pod.
So that's going to be interesting to see how the modern decks change. Do you know the next modern...
I know that... Star City actually did a modern IQ as well.
Okay.
I didn't look at any of the deck lists. I probably should have. I still can right now.
That's fine.
But yeah, Standard really, we can expect to see in the next three weeks or so, especially with the Pro Tour, there's going to be some innovation, maybe even from the innovator himself, Patrick Chapin of the
Pro Tour.
Maybe he'll innovate. Maybe he'll do something that we've never seen before.
He usually does.
Sometimes he comes out with something that... we've all seen before.
It seems like all the pros just keep all their innovations to themselves until they're really good innovations. I mean, you'll see pros post different things on Star City Games, on Channel Fireball, and different deck ideas to see for the new cards. But then they kind of hold back some of the stuff until they get to the Pro Tour. Like, okay, here's the deck I've actually been working on the whole time.
And we've seen a lot of cool stuff come from the pros, like when they did spoilers. Yeah. When they did spoilers, they actually, we'll spoil this card, and we'll talk about what I want to do with it. So, there's been a lot of cool stuff already with the stuff they talked about. So.
I mean, Lepore did some cool stuff.
Ari Lax spoiled Court of Calling and talked about it for a little bit. The Blue-Red 5 deck, also, the Artifact Blue-Red deck, I want to see a little bit of that in the future. I think it's good.
The one card that I really was happy to see played, even though I don't think many people were, in the Mono-Green list, was the Genesis Hydra.
Yeah, Genesis Hydra... I didn't like it at first. I still kind of don't, but I could see the merit in playing it. Mono Green is like the only deck that you can get a ton of mana. And we talked about it, at least I talked about it last week, that having a ton of mana allows you to do a lot more stuff that you normally couldn't do. Nykthos is just such a good card for that deck. It allows you to do that.
I forget who was doing the deck. Todd Anderson. Mm-hmm. He was talking about it, and it's like, mana dumps. Just all he was talking about, like, okay, so we demand dump this, we demand dump into Court of Calling, we demand dump into, Genesis Hydra, and then we get Plukernos to mana dump even more.
Yeah. I mean, I played Mono Green for a while, and my mana dumps usually went into, like, Nylia, Plukernos, stuff like that, and I had Hydra Broodmaster.
Yeah, yeah.
Was the thing I dumped my mana into. I feel like the ones he talked about were just better.
Yeah. I'm really excited for that Mono Green list.
They even added Sedessen Tactics, which is a card that I didn't even think of when it first came out.
What's that card?
Sedessen Tactics is one green, and then it has a Strive cost for. No, it's two. It's one and a green, and then Strive is a green extra for each thing that you target.
Okay.
Your things get +2/+2, and they can tap to fight for a turn.
Oh.
Or +1/+1. That's what it is. But still, they get to fight.
Fight.
So if you have giant creatures, they can fight the smaller creatures and just wipe the board.
Beats.
It's just great removal for a green, which they normally wouldn't have. Creature removal just doesn't come to Mono Green aside from fighting. That's about it.
That seems really good.
So,
I mean, I like it. I like it a lot. Yeah. I'm playing it in my decks.
I'll say, is that going to be I feel like some of these cards are going to be added to your commander deck.
Yep.
Like as soon as your hands
right into the beats.
That's why you Commander players, you got to keep track of Standard, because Standard's got a lot of good stuff coming out. Every set has got something that you really need to
make
note of.
New interactions are always good to see.
Yeah,
that's it, and it's, that's what is nice about having pretty much a mono competitive, like, casual player. I'm gonna call you a mono casual player.
Mono casual.
Mono casual.
Mono casual.
No, you're only casual.
Strictly casual.
That's fair.
Yeah. Anyway,
I do play competitive, but most of the time it's these guys innovating.
We're the champions of the group.
And every once in a while, I home. Not really very well.
Anyways, but
I add things for my flavor.
When we were living together, we would back in college when we had bunk beds, we would get in bed, look at the spoilers, and be like, "Okay, how do you feel this card?" And we would just talk about all these really weird interactions.
Kind of what we do here, you know, kind of
kind of like that, yeah.
Yeah, and we'll be doing
very
that
much like that. Actually,
we'll be doing that more once we get spoilers.
Once we see spoiler season.
Trust us when we say the episodes will not be that long. We will separate the spoilers into multiple episodes. When
as soon as we get spoilers, we'll talk about those cards, or the cards that we find interesting.
Like weekly spoilers.
Yeah. And then, so, but yeah, that was something really. Was there any other lists that you thought were really interesting?
I mean, in the top 16 alone. There was a green white aggro got second, so it was, but it was a normal green white. There was like I don't think there was anything that was new.
No.
Green white aggro, I always thought was a good deck. It was I think it's the most neutral of any deck. It's like the dead center. You're not really aligned with any particular plan. It's like not control. It's not really aggro. It is, I guess. But like it's about as middle ground as you can get.
Right. No. I really like that deck. I'm surprised.
I think that one, it was the only one of its kind that actually made top 32, though. So I think a lot of it might actually be either the guy who played it was really good at it, or it was really good matchups. I feel like that was probably part of it.
That's probably.
The one thing that I know we talked about was making a green-white deck that used Return to Light ranks.
Yeah, we talked about it.
Basically just like the two mana cost creatures, like, you know,
Voice Resurgence, Fleecemane Lion, Soldier of the Pantheon would get back. Experiment 1.
Precinct Captain.
Precinct Captain, yeah.
So just a bunch of like, these really good cards that are all listened to, and then like, you know, you just pump them out, and then, okay, yeah, you run up against a control deck, kills your creatures, or, you know, any deck that is playing kill spells, and pump.
They're out there, yeah.
Back here.
Yeah, that's one way to do it. But this was just straight. I mean, Green White Aggro is a deck that if your opponent's not doing much, if they're kind of sitting back, you just win. But no one really does that. So, I think it's good. I mean, obviously it's going to have to make top two. There's also in the top eight, there was a Naya aggro deck that I was looking at it. I see Naya aggro on a website, and I think it's enchantments or auras, hexproof.
Yeah, because
it wasn't, though. It was just straight Naya aggro in a Burning Tree Emissaries and Locksmith Smiters. It even had some Slaughterhorns. It was just normal. There's nothing new from what I saw.
No, it was mostly...
Maybe the new red-white Painland was like the only new card in the entire deck.
That's a fair point. There was a lot of...
I don't think that's really something that would set it over the top. I think it's just
it's just
a deck that did well at the time.
Yeah.
And just good creatures.
So, a few innovations, but then nothing innovations that did a lot with the two M15 cards.
Yeah.
I do think M15 is going to be a major set, though, to get your card pool from as soon as Ravnica rotates.
Yeah, the one thing I noticed more from M15 to M14, playing with it now for at least a couple times, the cards are just better. The cards as a whole, between M14 and M15, every card does something really specific, and it's like drafting a cube, kind of. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that, but like just a lower level. I think every card is good. There's no like, oh, this is an awful card.
No.
Even like Bronze Sable, I think is like the most boring card in the set. It's a
two cost two one.
Yeah, 2 mana 2/1 artifact. But even that has really good merit. Having your deck, you know, you play any deck, it's still good like a draft or a sealed pull. I mean, in certain situations, but
yeah, I mean, actually, when I think about it, not a lot of decks play cards from M14. I mean, there's a few here and there, but most of...
other than Mutavault, probably not.
Yeah.
What was like the card? It is 82% of decks.
Yeah,
sure,
but the rest, most of the decks, the rest of them are playing non M14 cards. It's just like Ravnica Theros.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to be the way it's going to be with M14, M15 at all.
Yeah, just I want to see more artifacts. It's just, I just want to see someone to try Primal Blast and Soul Artifact. I think those are just too good.
I'm like, I want to see Chief Engineer.
It's not...
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Trading Post, and Trading Post never really made a big difference in the real Tier 1 meta, but I wish it did. I mean, maybe I'm just wishing these cards do and they won't. Maybe they're another Trading Post to me, but I think they can, certainly.
I think they have potential.
You'd be innovative. That's it.
So we have the tournament this weekend, and so go watch those videos. Just watch the pros play. Watch out for a lot of sleeveless shirts.
Yeah. We watched a sleeveless mirror. We saw a sleeveless mirror on camera.
We don't mean shirts. We don't mean cards. The cards had sleeves.
Yes, sleeveless was Ben Friedman and Andrew Boswell, two of the guys that did really well. Black White Midrange and Green White Aggro. Yeah.
There's
three big things coming up. I guess we're gonna skip around in the
My notes aren't very succinct.
There's three things going on that you need to know about this weekend. There's Comic-Con in San Diego, really important because there's been a lot of stuff from Mark Rosewater on his Blogatog. If you Google search Blogatog, you'll find Mark Rosewater's blog about, he talks about things that are coming up and things that he thinks about Magic, and people can ask him any question and he'll answer them as long as he deems it worthy. It really depends. But he's going to be at the panel. They're going to talk about new stuff coming out. Probably, almost definitely going to spoil a lot of the new from the vault coming out in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And maybe some cons of Tarkir.
I'm hoping some cons of Tarkir.
Hopefully. We hope so.
At least some pictures. Like, I know last year's Comic Con or last year's.
Yeah, I think last year's they did just pictures.
They did just pictures of the gods and here's a new border and here's how things are gonna. Some of the interesting things we're gonna do.
Which gave us some flavor.
It's more than we know now. So I mean, if you're interested in the future of Magic and what's gonna happen and the flavor aspect of it, maybe I think they'll have the panel online somewhere.
Someone will.
Yeah, no one's really posted it yet, but it's gonna be up. It's gonna be around. So look out for it. Yeah. Also, two GPs
on the same weekend.
Two GPs. One is Boston Worcester. It's standard, and then there's GP Taipei, also standard. So you've got two opportunities between this Monday and next Monday. We're gonna find out a lot about what standard's gonna do, where it's headed.
Especially with Taipei. Where is Taipei?
China.
Okay. That's right.
Around China. I'm not a geographer, but it's around there.
You're better than us, though.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Taipei is China area.
Yeah, so okay. So we can see some interesting decks from, and also, since there's two different time zones, almost complete.
Yeah, you probably could watch both of them.
You go watch live GP.
If you want to grind, if you want to be a grinder and watch both of them at the same time, or different times, I guess, but back to back, then you could.
Yeah. All right. So look forward to those. Definitely, some big things from Magic coming up. Especially to see standard. So we're actually going to move on to some deck ideas we've had about innovation. And really just one deck in particular that one person's been honing on.
Yeah.
This Colin Hart is pretty much our Patrick Chapin.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
I don't do very well with deck building. I'm trying to learn. I'm reading Patrick Chapin's book.
I haven't read it, but...
Yeah, and I'm still awful.
I'm going to write my own. Just kidding.
So why don't you tell us about...
He might write a book.
Yeah, I might write a book.
Look forward to it.
I have thought about writing a book, but...
It'll be on shelves.
Different topic, but... Okay, so... I like playing... if you remember...
Soon's relative.
If you remember anything about what I was talking about last week, I like Graveyard-based strategies. A wise man once told me that if you control the most zones, you win the game. And I believe that. If you control, for instance, the field, hand, and graveyard, you will win. And I believe controlling the graveyard is big. Having more stuff at your disposal is really important. So Reanimator is something that I've been wanting to do for a while, but I never actually have. Like, I never did this particular round of Standard, not since Unbearer Rights was Standard.
Which you miss dearly.
I miss it dearly. Unbearer Rights was the best. So Reanimator...
I'm surprised you haven't made a modern deck with it yet.
I'm actually thinking about playing it soon in Tron, but that's a different story.
Okay.
So Junk Reanimator, it's not. I mean, I'm trying to innovate it, but it's not unlike what you've seen If you look up Reanimator decks on, like, MPG Top 8, or Brian Brondewin played one in the Star City Open the one time, they're pretty laid out. It's about 45 cards that are the same, and you have, like, 15 slots to work with, which is actually quite a bit for an archetype. You obviously need, it's Obsidian's Aid is really the card that makes it go. Stuff like Grizzly Salvage and Seder Wayfinder can make you, you know, fill up your graveyard and get some stuff. The fact that you can pay 5 mana and reanimate an Elspeth was huge.
Or Garrick.
Yeah, and now you have this new Garrick that I pulled one last week, so I decided I'm going to play this deck because I want to be the first person that I know to turn 3 reanimate a Garrick, which is possible with this deck. So when we were testing out this deck for a while, we noticed that Garrick kind of just owns the board when he's out there. Mm-hmm. As long as he's got protection, he owns the board, and it's a really good spell as long as you've got something leading up to it. If you just ramp up to it with nothing on the board, it'll probably not do a whole lot for you. It'll do something. It'll do something immediately, but not a whole lot. So the Reanimator deck is super cool to play. Some innovations like Soul of Innistrad, which has actually been really good in the deck, I think. Being able to pay 5 if you mill this thing and get 3 things back. When you've got good creatures like Sylvan Primordial, Obsidat, Shadowborn Demon, Blood Baron of Iscopa, you've got things that you can reanimate, and they're just super good. So I like the Reanimator deck a lot, and I think it's going to get better as time goes on, at least until rotation. So.
I think we'll. No, I say when I playtested it, I think what we established in playtesting today was that Mono Blue pretty much wipes it.
Does it?
It's a rough hand. Granted,
few
of those...
I knew that going into it, yeah.
Granted, a few of the that a bit of that was just maybe misplays on my part and a little bit of mana screw, but overall, I think the blue deck will probably win that match.
Yeah.
But it's a close match every time.
It'll win game one. We didn't play post-sideboard.
This is true.
Post-sideboard, I think this... that you actually have an advantage.
Yeah, that might be true. We never tested that.
Because we have stuff like Vile Blight, but...
That's true. Yeah, so we'll look. So, but it definitely seems, like, really good.
It is really good.
It's got good matchups against... I think it's got a great matchup against Mono Black, and it's got a great matchup against Control, because you can play from different zones, and they can't really deal with that. So beating 2 of the 3 pillars of Standard, that's really the test for a deck. If you want to know if your deck is good enough or not, test it out against the 3 pillars of Standard. At the time right now, there we have Mono Black, Mono Blue, and Esper Control.
Yeah.
If you can beat 2 or 3 of those, you're in good shape.
You are. And since I know a lot of metas are working with red-white burn decks because they're cheaper, it beats red-white burn.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how, but it does.
Yeah. I also, now that I think of it, I wanted to innovate the deck a little bit by throwing in Pack Rat. Pack Rat is something that if I have room for, I don't think any Reanimator deck has done it yet. One thing I noticed playing Reanimator was I have giant stuff in my hand that I don't want there. I would rather have it in the graveyard. So if I could find a way to profitably discard it, would be awesome. And there's no real way to do that in Standard aside from Pack Rat. Pack Rat is just about the only way to do it.
There's a nice thing about the deck though is that it has enough ramp spells that you can actually play these creatures just straight out.
Yeah.
I mean, some of your reanimate targets with Obsidian's Aid. It's a 5 cost, or anyways. What's the name of the demon?
Shadowborn,
yeah. Like, that's actually one of the most popular targets, and then it's still a 5 cost as well. You can still play that just from your hand.
It's a lot like the Junk Rights deck with, you want things that when they enter, they do something really good. That's really going to help your board. Shadowborn Demon does it. Primordial does it. Obsidat does it.
They're all scared.
Even Blood Baron doesn't immediately do it, but it's just so good against a lot of stuff.
Yeah, people are really scared of it. I mean, when you're playing the Mono Black deck, they can't usually deal with it because Pro Black.
Yeah, Pro Black is just good enough.
It wrecks days.
I might try Pack Rat. Pack Rat is something that it adds a new dimension to it. When you're playing Reanimator and your opponent knows it, it might actually be the worst thing for them knowing that you're playing Reanimator because they focus so much on stopping reanimating that they'll let you do what you want on the board.
Right, it's true.
That is true. I've noticed
it's
that.
It's really hard to stop Reanimator, and I'm a firm advocate of it. I think it's just super good. I've been playing a lot of graveyard strategies lately, and I think they're just good, especially because they're under the radar. I mean, once they... If they... ever make it big, they're going to get hated out pretty hard, probably, because Graveyard is the easiest thing to hate. But the fact that right now they're under the radar, I think now's the time to play some kind of Reanimator deck or some kind of Dredge or something. And, I'm proud to be part of that.
So. All right. Well, that's one deck that you should maybe, if you want to test it
out.
If,
if you have the pieces for it, certainly. I mean, no. Standard's cheap. Standard's cheap right now. So.
It is. The other day we were looking online, and because of how healthy Standard is, like how so many different decks are doing well, the most A card is $20, which granted is expensive for most, a lot of people out there. But compared to what Standard used to be, so much better. Back when, about a year ago, you had cards like $30, $40 in Standard. Voices were like 50 at one point. Yeah, they were expensive.
Yeah, they maybe even more than that, but that was probably for modern reasons. It was never a huge thing in Standard.
Yeah, and so the only cards I think that are more than 20 are the ones that are in Modern too, which is like Mutavaults. Mutavaults have gone down a little bit. Same Thoughtseize.
Yeah.
So those are both too expensive. Maybe they might be actually over 20, but still, they're cheaper than they were at one point. So if you want to get a Standard, maybe buy the cards now, and then
M15's worth the investment. It's definitely worth it.
I think so. A lot of these cards are probably going to be the key cards for some decks in the future.
And I think Standard's going to slow down. I think that we're ready for a slower Standard, and getting those cards I think is good.
Especially with going to Tarkir. Tarkir just seems like it's going to be a plane that's full of big dudes.
I think it's going to be slower, partly because of the Liliana Vess making it in, and Liliana of the Veil not making it in.
Yeah,
and that maybe a theory, maybe proven, but the word is that Liliana of the Veil was supposed to be in Standard, but then the guys that are in D just thought at the last second they realized it's way too good, so they had to pull it out and need to put something in there. Liliana Vess was a safe bet because even at its best, it was Standard when Miracles were Standard, and it can minus two and put a card on top. So legal at the same time. Last time it was Standard, it was legal at the same time as Miracles, and that is the best it's going to be, I think. And the fact that it wasn't even played in Tier 1 decks then, it's a safe bet, put it in Standard. It's going to be great for drafts and stuff, but it's Planeswalker, everyone's going to like having it, but it's not going to make a huge difference in Standard.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
That's why they did it. So, slower Standard is the point I'm trying to make. 3 mana Liliana is too good. So.
Agreed. All right. So we're going to move on now. I think we're going to skip the one discussion until hopefully Jordan gets back.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of like
the other side
like
of the
debate.
Argument.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
Kind
so,
of.
I'm just kind of curious to hear the conversation.
Yeah.
So we're going to skip down to where Eric actually should be involved.
Yeah, this is where I get to be involved. And stop just drinking tea on camera.
Yeah. So no way are we related or affiliated with Snapple.
We just love it.
Snapple.
Oh, yeah, they do.
We love it. Interesting facts. Like, the dots on a domino are called pips.
Anyways.
Dolphins love jazz.
Facts.
I was like, oh, I didn't know.
Yes, interesting facts. So we're going to talk about...
24 rabbits made 2 billion rabbits in Australia in just 6 years.
Oh, hey, he's back. Okay, we're going to...
He's back to the topic of these two.
I swear these
just
are magic
6
related.
Years.
I swear these are magic related companies.
Yes. Anyway. All right, so we're going to...
breeding.
Hey, Eric.
It's a lot of bunnies.
Eric, right,
go ahead.
Okay. All right, so we're going to move on to a discussion on Modern Masters.
Modern Masters.
And the question is, was it a success?
We have two sides. I guess we're going to have two sides of a debate here.
Yes.
Was Modern Masters a success or not?
I think it might be more just like you talk about it, and we'll try to pose like devil's advocates.
Yeah.
Is that good?
I think it was a success.
Okay, you can get on his side.
I didn't say for whom. I didn't say who was the successor of this. It was... Okay, I'll just get into it.
Okay.
When Modern Masters was created, and it was spoiled to the masses, the first thing that came into people's mind was, I want to play Modern, but I can't afford it. And I don't have access to the cards because they're so old and they're so expensive. Mm-hmm. And everyone looks at Modern Masters as a way for not only getting the cards, but making the cards cheaper and getting a hold of them. The fact that it is a limited print run changes things a little bit. The people who were super smart maybe saw this coming. Especially if you don't know, Magic stock is a huge thing. every card has its own stock, goes up and down. Modern is a format that people wanted to play. It was fun. Wizards wanted to find a way to get people to play it. So Modern Masters came out. It had the best cards in Modern, Tarmogoyf, notably, Dark Confidant, Vendilion Click, the whatever.
Cryptic Command.
I was in it. I forgot about that.
Cool. So, and if you know literally anything about business, the business model is that these guys went to business school or they had business training of some sort of business training. These two had business training. What I know about business is supply and demand, which I think everyone knows about. Supply and demand.
Xbox 101.
The basics being, if you have more supply and less demand, then the price will go down, and vice versa. If you have less supply and more demand, the price is going to go up. So what Wizards did here was create a situation where there was more supply available, which people would think, great, that means the price is going to go down, and there's going to be more out there, which is great. But what maybe Wizards saw coming, but we didn't, was that Modern Masters would create a situation where people wanted to play Modern, and more people would want to join because now we think it's more accessible, and they want to be part of this Modern phenomenon, be a Modern Master, if you will. So what happened was the demand, rather than stay the same, which is what we think might have happened, it also went up. And this is a situation where they're kind of racing. The price is going to matter. It's going to depend on what's going up faster or what ends up being higher. So what we're seeing now is, because Modern being such a popular format, the demand is going up higher than the supply is because it's so limited and
right.
People want to join up. So the point of the matter is, it was a success, I believe, because Wizards had a plan in mind that they knew darn well that it wasn't going to reduce the price, but it was going to create a situation where more people would want to play. And they're still making more money. They have created a product that people wanted to buy. It was a success because more people play Modern now than there were before Modern Master.
Yeah.
And that's why it was a success.
Okay, so it's not a success in that cards are cheaper like we want.
It was even a success because there's more of them around now. I can guarantee you there's a ton more Tarmogoyfs out there than there were before because
right.
they were printed. I mean, obviously, you saw people pull them.
Right, yeah. So
I agree there's more supply. My thoughts that it was an epic failure by Wizards is, there's more demand, but now Tarmogoyfs double the price, so it is half as accessible as it was before.
Depends on your definition of accessible.
I have got $100. I could buy a Tarmogoyf last year. I cannot buy a Tarmogoyf this year.
Right.
Yes, I can buy the bottom half of a Tarmogoyf.
But you can buy Modern Masters packs and, in theory, maybe pull a Tarmogoyf.
Or I could give more money to Wizards in packs and pull dollar rares out of Modern Masters.
You could.
Which is all you're going to get anyway.
Right.
Most likely.
Yeah. That's true. Also note that there were a lot of commons and uncommons that the price did go down.
Money.
That you couldn't get before.
That's true.
Path of Exile went down in price. Relic of Progenitus I remember was really expensive.
Electrolyze was...
We had some...
Lightning in the set?
But there were some. I'm saying that as a whole, Modern is more accessible now than it was.
So
the
accessible
are there.
Accessible in what capacity is my question? Accessible just in sheer numbers, absolutely.
And part of this, you know, we can get into another debate about superstores driving up the price. There's some theories that Channel Fireball and Star City Games drive up the prices because they know they can. I don't know if any. About that, but they might not. I'm not at liberty to say.
The theory is that those two stores buy up all of one card, like, for instance, the Beta Duel Lands. And so they buy them all up. So they have them all, so they get to say, oh, we have, you know, basically kind of like a monopoly on the card.
So Tarmogoyf was probably maybe a result of that.
Yeah.
That it was a card that, yes, there are more out there, but, you know, they maybe bought them all.
But at the same time, we now have more people playing Modern. And then I think that's what you're trying to say is like that's
yeah,
part of what
yeah.
makes it successful is that we're playing Modern.
It was a success in several levels. I don't think it was really a failure in any capacity.
You can't tell me the price wasn't a failure.
The price was definitely a failure.
Price was an absolute failure.
A failure to me would indicate that there was a goal that was not met.
And so the.
Right, to drive the prices down and make it more accessible for the
players. But that was never necessarily a goal.
The goal was
people thought that.
The goal being more accessible to the players I think would have to include price.
It does include price.
Saying it's a success by doubling the price of the cards is absolutely not a success in my eyes.
What you need to understand is that Wizards has no control of the price of cards. They put the cards out there, and people determine what the cards are worth.
Right, but they can also print it again.
Right, yeah,
which will fix the price.
I mean, we've talked. There's been rumors about having a second Modern Masters. Maybe next year, maybe
Modern Masters too. But are they going to print the same cards again?
No.
It's not going to be if they just released another run of Modern Masters, I feel like we'd all just be happy with.
They might do that.
But then again, isn't that causing another problem that more Modern Masters people will want to jump in and it's not going to solve anything?
You're going to see the supply run more than the demand.
Right.
Because there aren't that many more people left to bring into Modern.
Right.
If they're going to jump ship to Modern, they probably
can. Modern's a fun format, and I feel like Modern Masters really, it just brought people together. It was something that,
it was fun to draft.
Maybe it wasn't just the set. I mean, just the set itself was just kind of a bridge to people saying, you know, this Modern thing may be something that's catching on. It wasn't that huge when Modern Masters was released. It was, or at least, thought of, I guess. It was like Wizard's baby, you know, Magic's little baby that they're taking care of and raising. And now it's a monster, quite frankly.
Modern?
Yeah, Modern's a monster, so.
The way they can actually make Modern more accessible is honestly Fetch Lands.
Yeah.
Which, you know, hopefully.
Reprint Fetch Lands. Yeah.
That would be lovely.
That is what's going to make Modern more accessible.
And I posed a question, I said earlier about Blog and Talk. And Mark Rosewater asking him questions. I've asked him three questions so far. So far, no answers. But my questions tend to the only answers I can get are ones that are like super spoilers that he can't really answer. I'm assuming the most recent one was I noticed Wizards likes to reprint cards in standard sets to make the price go down, and most of the time it works, if not all the time, in standard sets.
Yeah.
Notably, Mutavault in M14. The price was, it was $40, $50 at the time, and they wanted people to have Mutavaults. Thoughtseize in Theros, it was $80. It is now $20, if that, $15.
Scavenging Ooze at one point.
Scavenging Ooze. That was never actually Modern.
No, but it was vintage.
Modern legal.
It was vintage.
And I think Legacy legal, too, yeah. It was Legacy.
Well, yeah, that's what I meant. Legacy.
And also, in M15, you have Court of Calling and Urborg. Two cards that, you know, Court was 30 and Urborg was 40 or something like that. They weren't necessarily, like, the best cards, and maybe Wizards felt like they were overpriced. I asked Mark Rosewater if he thinks that they're ever going to do that with the Modern staples, the Tarmogoyfs, the Dark Confidants, the Vendilion Clicks, the Cryptic Commands, if they're going to try that. And I've yet to get an answer, but I feel like they can't really draw the line on it. I feel like they need to do that at some point. If they want people to have these cards, they need to print them again, or find a way to intervene with these superstores that are driving the price up. That needs to happen. Or they can just not do that and just let Magic continue the way it is, which is still fine. I feel like it's gonna grow, but certain people aren't happy. So.
Yes.
I am one of those people as far as price is concerned.
Right. So, that's why I think Modern Masters was a success. Post in the comments if you think Modern Masters was or was not a success.
Yeah, let us know what your opinion is.
Yeah.
Or
if you just don't care. If you don't care about Modern, if you just want to play Standard or Commander or whatever.
Be like, are you Eric? Are you Long? Are you
Who do you agree with the most?
Middle ground.
If you require me giving like an opinion about something. Alright, so we go to the next topic. This is where we're gonna go back to Eric now.
Yeah.
So recently the Duels of the Planeswalker 2015 game came out.
Mm-hmm.
And so far I haven't played any of it. Have you played any of it?
Not at all.
You played a little bit.
I played a little bit of it.
Bought it and has almost beaten it. And so we're going to talk about how that game's improved over the earlier versions. This is like the fifth one they've done?
Fifth one? I think fourth.
This is five.
Is it five?
Okay, this is five.
2010, 2011, 12, 13, 14, 15?
11, 12, 13, 14.
Yeah,
that's
fifth one.
Is number five.
All right, so, and I'm pretty sure you've bought every single one so far.
I have bought and I have played every one.
I don't think I bought last year's.
Last year's was good. I liked what they
did
last
year. You can scavenge
use. Right. Get it. So, okay, the promos this year suck.
The promos were bad. Everyone can agree on that. They weren't very good.
Yeah. All right, so, as compared to
Oh, a prime time? Yeah!
I don't even remember what the promos were.
This year?
They were that.
They're souls. Soul of Ravnica and Soul of Zendikar, I think.
Yeah, it's not even the good souls.
Ravnica seems most playable. Ravnica is a good one.
Really? I thought you thought that.
No, I think Ravnica is
most
playable.
But anyways, I'm gonna ask you some questions.
Yeah,
tell us about it. All
right. And
what do you think has been the biggest improvement over previous years?
Biggest improvement?
Yes.
The ability to make your deck from scratch.
Okay.
However, that was something that people have called for years past. Hmm. And Wizards has always said, if you want to build your deck from scratch, and if you're that hardcore a player, go to Magic Online. That's your platform for this. Give us more cards. Yeah, that's your platform for this. So, and Duels was always here's a beginner tool, teach you how to play.
Right. It's just interesting because, I mean, if you're going to release a version every year, it doesn't seem like it'd be the best way to do it.
You'd think, here's beginner, every year we make a one for players who'd like to have fun.
Right.
The game's not fun. If you're looking for a game to have fun, the game's not fun at first. I love the game now that I've played and I've unlocked 85% of the cards in the game.
There's a way to unlock the whole game.
I've unlocked every card but the premium, at least one-offs.
I think you can...
I'm not paying the $28 to unlock all the premiums.
That's what I was going to say.
There are 14 premium packs that you would need to buy to get all the premium cards. I'm not going to do that. I'm not paying $38 for this game. I'm paying $9.99.
Right.
Was the $9.99 worth it for the game?
If they fix the interface, absolutely.
Yeah.
The interface is bonky and heavy.
Bonky.
It's just a grind.
I've never heard
the
that
whole game is a grind.
it's a bonky grind.
The thing that always got me with
once you get into the game, it plays lovely, except for the timer.
The timer needs some work.
If you want to, stop the timer every time.
Yeah.
Attack all is nice.
Attack all is nice. That's a nice addition.
I saw that when you were playing. I remember when we were playing old games and we get gazillions of tokens. You'd be like,
I also haven't unlocked the Eldrazi cards in the game.
Yeah.
I would love me a Kozak.
The order of resolution and being able to respond to things on there is pretty good.
Yeah, it's
rough.
I feel like there's got to be a judge call at some point in that game that like the game itself can't even do. That's what I think. Like if they get enough cards in there, they probably don't have enough in this version.
There are 985 cards in the game.
Eventually, there's going to be something that they can't do. I don't know.
I believe I've found that every time I've thrown the controller playing that game.
I would like to know what you think. Do you think that a beginner player can pick this up and learn how to play?
Yes. Yes, I do. The tutorial will teach you very well. I played through this tutorial. It was a mistake for me, who knows how to play. If you don't know how to play the game, it's great.
So if you do know how to play the game, just skip the tutorial.
Yes, unless you want the achievement.
Achievements are nice.
Well, then we all have to play it.
That's the only reason I play it.
I know.
Last Airbender.
My other complaint. They gave both Jace and Gurk voices. I don't like them having voices.
Well, they're gonna eventually have a voice in the wizard in the Magic movie.
If the movie's about them,
I would assume.
I don't think it's about them.
It's gonna be about Jace, right?
Gurk's killing people.
I don't think it's about.
Killing people. He's a boss. He's the ultimate villain now.
There was a video that they released of him like making.
Thanks, Liliana.
Yeah,
thanks, Liliana.
Super
cute. Okay, the game's story also very good. There's a story to Magic.
What? That's a new thing that they're doing storylines in core sets.
Yeah.
Which people like. People are enjoying stories. Generally, I like it.
I mean, we got, Bolas. It kind of really started, Bolas set. I mean, it was a set fourth storyline, but it kind of gave you some,
Was that last year?
No, 2 years ago.
It was 2 years ago.
We have a poster behind us that has Bolas head on it with 2013.
So. Yeah, that was that one.
Can't see with Blair.
What was 12?
12 was, they didn't have anything, really.
No, 12 had no story. It was
Gideon's your first
play through and kind of do things.
Yeah.
And 11 really did not at all.
No, 11 was the only second time I did,
elves. Elves was the good deck
Magic
there.
Core set. So, but yeah, that was,
Yeah, all
right.
The game is good. Yeah,
the game, it's worth the $10 buy.
It's good, but
not worth the premium.
It's good, but it's
buy.
Bonky. It's bonky. We know that.
Can you play?
They'll fix it.
Fix it. What is the gimmick this time? There's been other ones like two-headed giant.
There's no gimmick.
There's no gimmick.
There's no gimmick.
No drafting. No.
There's no draft. There's no plane chase. There's no arch enemy. There's no two-headed giant.
Those are the
four past ones. There's nothing in this one. The gimmick is, hey,
you can build
your own deck.
Yeah, you can build your own
from scratch. You just have to open packs.
I did like from playing the demo that it started with, I can pick literally any color combination, and they'll give me a deck.
Yeah.
Like, from the very beginning, I got to choose my own path, and that's really cool.
Smash and burn.
For me, you know.
Red, green, beats.
I mean, I know you were playing mono blue. You're playing something blue.
I played mono blue earlier. And I built mono blue.
And I like black
blue
green.
Beats.
I like black green. And graveyard stuff. And they gave it to me. I know that's what I wanted. And they gave me what I wanted.
I went through a stage in my life where I'm not sure what I like anymore.
I like green mixed with other things.
If you know what Goose wants, post in the comments.
Yeah, I used to be a control player, but lately I'm like, I don't want to think this much.
Yeah.
And I don't like think at all.
If you think you should suck it up and play
Mono Red. And dragons and beasts.
If you think Goose should suck it up and just play Mono Red, just post comments. So I'm going to later on.
Oh, Mono Red's good. I like it. Mono Red.
As we discussed last time, Mono Red, it's a viable deck. 174 straight round wins.
It's all red, they're all dead.
That's pretty much it.
Red deck.
Alright. Do you have anything else on the agenda?
That's all I have on the
agenda. So do we want to finish up with some cracks and packs?
Yeah, we got some packs to crack. 2 hours ahead of schedule. So here we go.
Okay, well
what time is
it? I don't know how long we've been.
How long have we been?
Tell us in the comments how long we've been talking.
We'll figure it out after. Don't worry about it.
The first who's closest.
So pack number one, Magic 2015.
Go on. Don't look at me like that. I want to blow on the next one. Can I blow on the next one?
Sure can.
What we got?
Okay, this one. Card number one. We got Welkin Turn. 2 cost, 2/1 flying.
I like that card.
Solid.
Not bad. Flyers win.
Yeah.
Blue beats.
Blue is a good color to get into anyway.
I'm talking about last Friday. I played Flyers and I won with the sealed deck.
That tends to be.
Welkin Turn was good.
It's never my philosophy going into it. It's always my philosophy going into
it. It's always
blue, white Flyers.
We tried to return to Ravnica the one time. You got blue, white Flyers.
Blue, white Flyers.
Didn't even know that was an archetype. Return to Ravnica. It is.
It
really
second
is.
Second one, we have Crowd's Favor. It's a 1-cost red Convoke. Target creature gets +1/+0 and gains first strike till the end of the turn.
Red beats.
Potentially a free spell.
Potentially free.
I mean,
it's free.
It's next. Midnight Guard. It's a reprint from Innistrad.
I guess we could use
Dark Ascension, was it?
Dark Ascension, that's it.
Yeah.
Innistrad Block is what I
mean. Yeah.
Well, yeah, we know you, man.
3-cost white. 2 and a white, 2/3 frame. Whenever another creature enters the battlefield, untap Midnight Guard.
I'm probably not playing it.
No.
It's not a terrible frame.
It's actually, I think about
it. In Sealed, it's good.
In Sealed, it's not a bad frame. It kills bears.
It's
mad.
Yeah. It kills bears.
When I think about it, it's actually
doesn't have the beats I need.
When I think about it, it's actually not bad with Convoke, because it's like, get another creature, like attack with another creature, and then you can untap.
It's a free mana, I guess.
It could be. It's got potential. It's still not good.
Okay, so next we have Research Assistant, which is a 2-cost, 1 in a blue, 1/3 frame. Pay 4, tap it, draw a card, then discard a card.
That's not terrible.
It's a 2-cost, 1/3 frame, which is good enough in some cases.
If you've got nothing, if you're drawing lands and you need something to play, you're not gonna mind losing a little
bit. It's your 23rd card.
Next, it's Black Shadowcloak Vampire, 4 and 1 black, 4/3 frame, pay 2 life, and it gains flying until the end of the turn.
I like it.
Evasion. It's a black card.
It's beats.
Through and through.
It's enough beats.
It's not a bad card.
It's good stuff for a cost.
So. Undergrowth Scavenger, 3 and a green. It enters the battlefield with a number of +1/+1 counters equal to the number of creature cards in all graveyards.
So it'd be good.
It's a card for me.
So you put that in your Dredge, your sealed Dredge
deck,
right?
Yeah, after rotation.
It's a card
after
for
rotation,
Dredge.
It can go into Dredge deck.
It could replace some things.
I played Imperial East, it was good.
It could replace some
things. It's a middle pick.
Okay, Crippling Blight, 1-cost black enchant aura. Enchant creature, it gets a -1/-1 and can't block. Which
cool.
is
very
helps
relevant.
You get your beats in. Very relevant as far as
beats.
Sealed's concerned. Then standard Evolving Wild, sack it to go get
great card.
A basic land.
Yeah.
Also, people don't. Sometimes people draft, get this, and they don't play it. Play it.
I play a nanny deck. Even if it's mono color, play that.
Pulls a land out.
It's mana fixing, and it reduces the probability that you'll pull a land later in the game.
Right.
Off the draw.
Okay. It does.
It color fixes if you ever play more than one.
It is unhelpful when you. Like when you are wanting that last land to get like cast a card, and it's like, oh,
if you want perfect curve out, that's bad. That's.
Next one is Living Totem, the 3 and a green, 4 cost, 2/3 Convoke, and when it enters the battlefield, you may put a +1/+1 counter on another target creature.
So not the Living Totem. Bad by itself.
Bad by itself.
But could get creature.
Next is Broodkeeper, starting the uncommons, 3 and a red, 2/3 frame. When an aura becomes attached to the Broodkeeper, put a 2/2 red dragon creature flying onto the battlefield that has fire breathing. Pay 1 and get +1.
That's
+1.
Pretty good.
That's actually really good.
I like it. I like dragons.
I didn't even know that card existed.
I forgot about it. I got beat by that card last round of our pre-release.
So, was that the red guy that had?
Yeah.
Would this push you into red, though? Would this push you into red?
If you got enough enchantments. Like, honestly, it was good because the guy had basically Boros enchantments.
It doesn't seem as good in a draft.
It doesn't seem as good in
a draft.
It seems decent in...
It could...
It's potential unsealed if you get the right card.
Tier 2 or 3 constructed.
Yeah, I would say if you're playing crap constructed, it's good. If you're playing non-top tier, I should say.
Yeah.
Crap.
So 2
That's
two
not
or
a
three.
Nice way to say it.
Okay, so next we have Diffusion Sliver. Diffusion Sliver. 2 costs 1 and a blue. 1/1 frame. Whenever a sliver creature you control becomes a target of a spell or ability, then an opponent controls counter that spell, or unless they pay 2.
It's pretty good.
It's a sliver. I like it.
Save the slivers.
Yes.
So. I think...
I like it.
Yeah.
It's a 2+1/1, yes.
It's another,
but
we talked about
it's still a sliver.
Talk about the sliver deck and how good getting courting out different slivers are.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be something that you might want.
We have Circle of Flame, which is a big reprint. One in a red enchantment. Whenever a creature...
Stop it.
Excuse me.
Are you done?
Sorry. I'm done.
Are you done?
Whenever a creature without flying attacks you or a planeswalker you control, Circle of Flame deals 1 damage to that creature. So
okay.
I'm not playing it.
It really deters weenies from swinging.
Yeah.
It deterred my beats.
And the next one is a pretty big disappointment. The rare in the pack is Stormtide Leviathan.
Stormtide Leviathan? Yeah.
In sealed, it would push me to play blue.
Yes.
I like it. In sealed, that's a beat stick.
It's funny that you say that. I had that in my sealed pull last Friday.
And didn't play.
And did not play it.
Why?
Did you not play the deck?
I got like a third place. I went 4-1. I got 9 packs for free.
Did you play blue?
That's fair.
I played blue. I didn't play it.
Plus, yeah. I also had a Jace.
I didn't have
Jace.
I had Liliana. I did not play
it's
Liliana.
It's a big beat stick.
If you're okay with big costing blue spells.
No, that was your one rare pack.
Yeah, it's true.
That was your one rare deck.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a one rare deck. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, foil.
We didn't mention Stormtide Leviathan is an 8 cost, 5/3 blue. 8/8 frame with Island Walk, and all lands are islands in addition to their other types, and creatures without flying or Island Walk can't attack.
Lock it down.
It stops your opponent from attacking, and is a giant beat stick.
It locks down the field.
Through.
Locks down the field, and it is unblockable if it's on the field.
Yep.
So we have a foil.
I like it.
We did get a foil.
Unless they destroy all their own lands.
Correct. Unless that happens. And have a creature on the field at the same time.
Yeah.
That's pretty big stipulations. Or an Elspeth, I guess.
Sure.
Next one, we got a foil. It's the Paragon of Eternal Wilds, 3 and a green, 2/2 frame. Other green creatures you control get +1/+1. And pay a green, tap it. Another target green creature you control gains trample until the end of the turn.
The Green Lord of the Cycle.
That's going in.
Playable.
It's playable.
It's going in the Viner.
It's, I could say, a possibility for elves, maybe, but it's a human druid.
Yeah. I mean, pumping a bunch of green dudes is fine if you're playing elves, I suppose, but it's not
And sealed grid.
It's good. There's better choices. That's what it comes down
on
to.
On a side note, it does look a lot better that the bottom is foil now. And it's
yeah, that looks pretty sweet.
Oh, that does look nice.
That looks pretty awesome.
That looks nice.
That,
I like
it. Eric hasn't opened any M15 packs.
He also likes shiny packs.
I haven't. I like shiny
things.
As
we all do, I'm sure.
And then we got a swamp and a beast token. All right,
so what would you take from this pack?
What would you take from it?
It's funny this. What would you take
from
this
pack? I mean, obviously, Stormtide's Bomb.
Obviously, Stormtide is a bomb in this patch.
It does cost 8, though. It's a problem.
To be honest, I'm between the Broodkeeper and Welkin Tern.
You said you're at the right deck.
What's the shiny thing? What's its
Paragon?
The Green Lord.
Makes your green.
I'm playing the Green Lord. Because
you want
Paragon.
Shiny. You want an all shiny sealed deck, right?
Yes. It's not the shiny. It's the
all shiny
sealed
deck.
Helps,
or draft
it helps
you could.
Green things.
You
it helps
shiny
green things.
Deck, you could.
It's a good beat.
You'd have to have. Let's hear. You could get.
You get lucky.
If you got extremely lucky, you could get 24.
Yeah.
Hey now.
Which is enough.
Which is enough.
Hey now.
Hey now.
It's never happened.
I'll play two colors. I'm helping half my creatures.
Five color foils, right?
Yeah, five color foils!
That's a real draft deck, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Provided everybody's every pack has a foil in it.
And they pass
and
it.
And you
get
it.
One of them.
Yeah.
This is a horrible challenge to everybody watching.
Remember, five color foils.
If you can do it and take a video of it, we will mention you in the air. That means that
it will be the weekly show.
Record every draft that you have from now on. And send us the video of the one that has all foils in it.
We'll do something for you.
We'll do something notable.
Yeah.
Okay, just draft with a GoPro on your chest.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's fine. I feel like that's against the rules. I feel like that's, might get a BCI ban for that or something.
Possibly.
Well, only just don't do sanctioned tournaments. All
right. Just don't sanction any drafts. All right.
I'm playing in a sanctioned tournament, I'm not going to play five color shinies.
That's true. You're raising good points here.
That is a good point. Okay, so that being said, my first pick in this is definitely... Actually, I'm going to kick out the Broodkeeper because I didn't see any enchantments that I think would come back here.
Aren't that many.
Except for one that wasn't good.
The only enchantments really in the set are ones that hurt you or your opponent.
Crest of Rays. Well, it's not entirely true. It is possible to make that into a deck, like in sealed. Like that is a Boros Enchantments is a legitimate deck in sealed.
And my thought with this though, I think I want Welkin Tern here. And I think that because Stormtide Leviathan's gonna come back.
Do you think it's gonna come back?
I think it's coming back.
Pass it to me, I'm taking it.
I don't think so.
Well that's you. Yeah, it's you.
If I'm passing it to Eric, I'm taking Stormtide.
Sanctioned draft.
I guess it depends on how much
I
know.
I
drafted a sanctioned draft every week, man. I'll tell you, I'm taking that Stormtide.
I might drag you to a few when we live together, but besides that.
It depends on how much I know about who I'm playing with, I guess.
I'm drafting Stormtide, and I'm hoping that I get five Elvish Mystics, and I draft a really sweet green-blue deck.
This is pack one?
Yeah.
It's only potential from here on. You pick that.
Pack one, I'm probably taking that. Leviathan.
The rules of draft, you draft the right?
Let's say Leviathan isn't there. Say Leviathan isn't there.
Say Leviathan isn't there?
Leviathan isn't there, what do you take?
Welkin Tern.
That's a no-brainer.
Okay.
Welkin Tern is super good.
Right.
Play that from experience.
Okay, Welkin Tern.
Doesn't die in a Circle of Flame.
Welkin Tern.
Although I'm not going to lie, I think Circle of Flame
is
also viable.
It is viable.
I like blue aggro. It's apparently a thing.
I played it last Friday, and it was awesome.
I played it.
I used to play all four colors that weren't blue.
If it has blue or white and evasion, I'm probably going to favorite it.
That's three.
That's three colors.
You played all
Naya.
Four except for those two.
I played Naya.
All right, so we're going to move on to the next pack.
Can I blow on it? Can I blow on it?
Blow a kiss.
I blew the kiss, but apparently I had a blow.
For realsies.
Okay, first card in this pack is Void Snare. One cost blue, sorcery, return target non-land permanent to its owner's hand.
Non-land permanent.
Sorcery.
The notable words on there are non-land and sorcery.
Yes. So slower, but hits more stuff.
Sorcery.
More targets.
That's kind of not as fast.
Next card in this one is Clear Path,
which we had in... Did we have in the last?
No,
it was
different. No, it was
I like that.
The
name
sounds
good.
I don't know, card.
So far, no repeats.
It's not good.
It's Clear Path, one cost red, sorcery, destroy target creature with defender.
No.
So, a one cost
it's
red...
It's a hate for that drafted wall deck that the opponents are...
Blow up a wall. Well, you can only blow up one of them.
Still hate.
Still
no.
Hate, yeah.
There's
still
no
one mana, destroy a dude.
Oh, this card's good.
Next one, Triplicate Spirits, which is a six cost, 4/2 white, convoke, put 3/1/1 creature, 1/1 spirit creature tokens with flying on the battlefield.
It's like Spectral Procession.
It's like Spectral Procession, only not as good.
That's good. But it is great.
Kind of.
It is great for blockers. And
it could be good in black-white tokens. With
Flyers.
With Convoke it, I can't see it being terrible.
Yeah, you could. You have a lot of dudes, right?
Right.
Yeah, maybe.
It'd be a free
three.
It just makes more dudes.
Hey,
but you tap... Okay, let's say you pay it for three.
I don't see it being that big of
you
a deal, though.
Three dudes, you get three more dudes.
Because you have enchantments giving them all vigilance.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they all attack anyway. And
if they have vigilance, then yeah. If you're playing
absolutely, game, they have vigilance. Absolutely.
It's decent. It might replace...
Virtue, just intangible virtue opens up a door for that.
It might replace procession, you know, maybe not, but...
I don't think it'll replace procession.
It'll replace procession.
I don't think. Best case scenario, this is free, and procession costs three.
Oh, still better.
But next card, it's reprint, lightning strike, one in a red, three damage to target creature or player.
One of the best red spells in limited.
It's so far the best red spell in this pack.
So for the best, red spell we've seen so far.
For sure.
I think. Yeah. Next one's Titanic Growth. It's a one to green. It's an instant target creature gets +4/+4 until end of turn. In sealed.
Look, it's a pack.
Battle tricks are okay.
Battle tricks are very good in sealed.
They're all
right. And they remove people's peace of mind once they've seen one.
And people tend to think that people can be really dumb. Limited formats.
For those all back to back. I was at 17. I talked with 1-1, so you know blocks, and they played four at the same time. Those are good.
Yeah,
four of them.
Yes, he drafted seven
eight
of them.
Mana two.
Yes, and I died is the point. Yes. Those are good in large numbers. Yes.
Holy crap! Like the time I drafted, seven defend the hearths.
Yeah, just fogs.
Yeah, about seven different fogs.
But like I'll just swing out all wins. Like
he swung all out. I fogged it like six times till
I don't recommend that to anyone, but somehow it worked.
It was funny.
Moving on.
Next one's Witch's Familiar. It's two and a black, three costs 2/3 vanilla.
Nah.
But it is a pretty little frog.
It's a dude.
Three cost 2/3. It's just a frame. It's
not bad. It's a frame.
But it's a giant frog. So.
It's still just a frame. And the fact that it's a frog just kind of makes
it is a frog.
You have to smile.
I like it.
The next one's pretty good. It's one of the enchantments that we were talking about that actually doesn't hurt you. It's Eternal Thirst, which is one in a black enchant creature. Enchanted creature has lifelink, and whenever a creature an opponent controls dies, it gets a +1/+1 counter.
So whenever you kill our creatures...
Yeah. I've played this a couple times already, and I know it's good. It's just... Lifelink is great in
this,
races.
Yeah.
And
this actually was not... I was not playing the deck I was talking about earlier.
Lifelink wins races.
Yeah.
Especially Unlimited.
True.
Next one is Netcaster Spider, which is a 3-cost 2/3, 2 and a green. It has reach, and whenever it blocks a creature with flying, it gets +2/+0. So a 3-cost 2/3 frame with reach, when it blocks a flyer, it becomes a 4/3.
Does that kill Stormbreath?
Yes, it does.
That does kill a Stormbreath.
It reminds me of Karn.
It'll trade with a Stormbreath.
Karn the dude, that when it blocks, it does things.
Yeah, with Karn, he gets
butt pumped.
He's a pump.
-5/+5.
-4/+4.
Yeah.
0/8.
+4/+4. That's right.
It's kind of like that.
But he blocks.
Butt pumps is the word.
It doesn't really... Reminds you a little bit of the
Yeah. A little butt pump.
Next one's Rot Feaster Maggot.
What's the other way?
Pump.
Head pump. Rot Feaster Maggot.
Whatever.
5 costs 4 and a black. 3/5 frame. Which is important in sealed. 3/5 is a pretty decent frame.
It's a big frame.
And when Rot Feaster Maggot enters the battlefield, exile target creature card from a graveyard and gain life equal to that card's toughness.
Also could help win a race.
That's a sealed good card.
I'm not a big fan of that card.
I like it.
I don't like it.
Depends on what kind of fatties they're playing.
Yeah, if they're playing graveyard, if they're playing green black, you're just no doubt gonna.
Yeah, but if they're playing,
if it's in sealed. I like it.
I don't like it. I didn't like it.
Nothing else.
Really?
I don't like it. So.
Really?
Yeah,
I like it as a sideboard just in case against something.
Sure. Maybe I'll bring it in for sideboard buyer. In general, I don't like it.
Just don't pick it over something that's good.
But yeah.
Next one, we got Undergrowth Scavenger, the first repeat from the last pack. The 4-cost, it enters with a +1/+1 counter for each creature in all graveyard. We have Blood Host, which is a vampire. It's a 5-cost 3 and 2 black, 3/3 frame. Pay 1 and a black, sacrifice another creature, and put a +1/+1 counter on Blood Host and gain 2 life.
All right.
So
those are words.
Kind of blah. Kind of right in the middle.
Yeah, in the middle.
All right.
It's not a first pick.
The thing that ruins it for me with this one is it's a 5-cost 3/3 that doesn't have flying and it's a vampire.
Yeah.
There's no way to give it flying.
No evasion.
Yeah. Although it is an ability. Oh, it's a sacrifice to another creature. That's pretty bad.
Yeah, you have to sacrifice another creature to do that.
Yeah, that's.
In limited,
you probably don't have that many.
If it was flipped, if it was like the two cost 1/1, but you paid 5 to do that ability, but it was destroy target creature, and give it a +1/+1 counter.
It's a very different card.
Oh, I would absolutely.
Well, yeah, but it's
a different card.
It's a good
that would be a bomb. Next one's Cone of Flame, which is, I guess, the second uncommon in here. It's 3/2 red, sorcery speed. Cone of Flame deals 1 damage to target creature or player, 2 damage to another target creature or player, and 3 damage to a third target creature or player.
It's good.
It is good.
I died to it once. I don't like it. But I know it's good.
Say 6 damage for 5. So definitely better than a Blood Axe.
Yeah. If you've dealt the 1 damage to the player, can you deal the 2 damage and the 3
damage? Another target?
It says another target.
It's another target,
so you can't.
It's not 6 damage.
Never mind. Get back. You have to have 3 targets.
Nothing's better than Lava Axe. How dare you say that?
It's something...
How dare you?
Is it you may for the second 2? Or is it you have to?
No, you have to do all 3, so you have to
It's like Decimate.
You have to have 3 targets.
There's got to be 3 legal targets for this to even be cast.
And then 3 damage to a third target creature or player.
Yeah.
A third.
There are older cards that, if you don't know about this, like, they're cards that have
meaning
targets. Most notably, Hex is a card that, it's an old card that, it's a black card that destroys 6 target creatures. But, it's great and all, but you have to have 6 target creatures to target. And this is another example of, you need these targets to exist to actually play them. You might murder yourself.
I mean, you could do 1 damage to yourself.
You could.
2 damage to a creature,
if
3 damage
If there's one creature on the board, you can play this card.
Yeah.
But you might have to murder yourself.
Next card.
We have Feral Incarnation, which is a 9 cost, 8 and a green, sorcery speed with Convoke, and you get 3/3 green beast creature tokens onto the battlefield.
It's okay. I mean, it's definitely a late game. It's like, have you ever played against that Hunt of the Howl Pact? What is it? I forget what it is. There's a card that's in Theros block that makes wolves, and it can chance things and makes them bigger. Anything that makes a bunch of tokens, pretty good. Pretty good.
Especially, it's a 9 cost, which is too much, in my
opinion. Convoke is the only thing to save
for me. Surprisingly makes it playable.
Convoke makes it slightly more
it's
playable.
It's 3 beast tokens.
Here's my thing. This isn't actually not much different than Chipcrete Spirits. I mean, it's just it's 3 more mana, but you get 3/3s instead of 1/1s.
With no evasion.
Yeah, in this situation, you are paying 9 for 9 power and toughness, but in that situation, you're paying 6 for 3, but in evasion, so it's essentially the same.
Right, so that's
in a
bigger
way.
You should, yeah.
If you count flying as 2 power toughness, I guess.
It probably makes my cut. Making my deck.
And so you're playing green, so it's not like you're not going to have, you should have some ramp spells, you should have a lot of creature spells.
Traditionally, you're going to have more smaller creatures on the board when you play spirits as opposed to this.
Well, I think you're going to have some good stuff. Anyway, what's the next card?
Possibly. Next one, the rare in the pack, we have Garrick Apex Predator.
Done! Found it!
That's my pick one.
Seems good.
I believe we know our pick.
Picks.
Bad.
We'll go ahead and read it out anyway.
Oh, foil, too. Foil.
There's a foil. It's a 7 cost, 5, a black, and a green. Comes out with 5 loyalty. It has 4 abilities. First time we've seen that since JTMS.
We don't speak his name, I'm sorry.
The one.
The +1, his first +1, destroy another target planeswalker.
Oh.
That really stinks when the next
turn. Like it.
Next turn you're playing a planeswalker.
His second +1 is you get a 3/3 black beast token with death touch.
Pretty sweet.
Okay.
His -3 is destroy target creature and gain life equal to its toughness.
I've seen this card very little, so I'm really like what I'm hearing.
And his -8, his ultimate is target opponent gets an emblem. Whenever a creature attacks you, it gets +5/+5 and gains trample.
Wow.
The first time we've seen, it's like, hey, an emblem, here you go.
Have it.
The first time we've seen, I want you to have this emblem. Oh, thank you, you're dead.
I like that.
So
what does he start at?
5.
It's 7,
he's only
3
turns
off. 5.
7 costs, 5.
So essentially starts at 6.
He has 2 different +1 abilities.
And one of his +1s puts a 3/3 frame with death touch on the battlefield.
The other one destroys
defends itself. I mean, no doubt this is the pick, regardless of what the foil is. I don't care what the foil is.
Unless it's a foil gear, in which case.
I've also drafted green.
Scoop up your packs and leave the store.
Unfortunately, I learned that apparently you can't do that in sanctioned drafts.
Well, I might try it this year. We'll see. I do sanctioned drafts, so I'm going to
Okay, but...
Oh, no way.
Our pick, definitely Garrick, Apex Predator. The foil in the pack, however, Sliver Hive.
Yeah.
The foil Sliver Hive.
It's rare.
Which is... not legendary, it's just a regular land. Tap to add one colorless, or tap to add one of any color to cast a sliver spell. Or pay 5, tap it, and put a 1/1 colorless sliver creature token onto the battlefield, and activate this only if you control a sliver.
That's a good pack.
Yeah. That was a good pack.
I'm playing that card, though, but I'm playing the guard.
I'm picking the guard.
I do believe that Sliver is probably valuable, though. I mean,
I like.
It sucks. If you're drafting, it sucks you had to get this pack because there's 2 good money cards, probably $20 a piece. You know.
But hey, yeah, it's $120.
You're gonna take Planeswalker, obviously, because it's gonna do 2 things for you. But
obviously, because it's a sealed.
If it's sealed, then you're happy. But
okay, let's assume that Garrick was in the pack. What would you guys take?
I would take Garrick.
We're assuming Garrick's not in the pack.
I would take him.
So, okay, pack 2.
This pack's got good support.
I would take Garrick.
I mean, there's some solid green and black things
I'd
in
take
here.
Garrick.
What's that? Half this pack is green and black.
That's pretty funny.
Look at how baller this pack is.
This pack is really green and black.
This pack...
Am I correct? There's only, like, what, 5 cards in the entire pack that are green and black?
5, yeah. One's white. 3...
3 of them are red.
3
of
them are red.
You got Jund present here.
And... Yeah.
So if we're playing sealed, how does this affect the colors you're playing as opposed to our first pack?
Yeah, if you obviously play all your bombs and play bug.
Actually, if you look back at the first pack,
I only picked 2 colors ever. So
I drafted green the first pack. I'm just gonna continue drafting green and black.
Oh, usually I assume
I'm
the next pack.
Adding a color or heck, if I'm playing white, I'm now playing junk.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like that. It's such a good card that it's either I'm gonna splash a color to play it, or I'm gonna ignore my entire first pack and build around this card now.
If it's pack 3, I'm building around
it's
that.
Like, it's like I have 7 chances now to whiff on my next 2 packs. I better build a good deck now. So, or is it 5? There's 14 cards in a pack. There's not 15. There's 14.
So. Yeah. When you pull something if you're planning on like blue white and you pull a Garrick in pack 2, you just kind of
What'd you just toss? All the comments or something else?
Pack 1.
Ah.
Pack 1's right there.
Yeah, on the floor.
All right. All right, well.
All right, so that's all we have for this week. Look forward to seeing us next week on Monday. Don't know what time. Probably between 7 and 9.
Midnight.
Yeah, we'll have a lot to talk about.
We'll be there.
We'll be talking about those tournaments and the Comic-Con, how cool it is, and winks. And inside jokes. We're talking about those too.
Inside jokes. Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, and have a wonderful day.